Hi, welcome everybody. Shortly before the lunch break, I would like to give you an overview of the history of OpenQA. So I would like to go with you through some visual impressions. I would like to show you how OpenQA started, what happened in the past years, and also give a quick outlook on where are we going next. So first, OpenQA is turning 16. It started 2010 when Bernhard wanted to run automated tests of the OpenSUSE products at this time, also record fancy videos. So, you know, as a showcase, as an instruction set, like how can I install OpenSUSE? And that's also why the backend of OpenQA is called ISO to video. It's about taking an ISO, like, you know, the installation image, and making a video out of that. So making of the OpenSUSE install video is describing that. That's how it looked. It already had core functionality, you know, after the backend. I wasn't there at that time. I see some people in the audience that know better than me how it was actually, how the individual components were called at the time. This is how OpenQA looked, and I can still recognize the core functionality which was there at the time. You had like test results recorded. You had the different variants, the different flavors that are covered, and what you can see in the lower half is the test overview showing screenshots and how a run is recorded, the result of the automated comparison of the visual screen content with the reference. And from then, well, over the years, you can see in the timestamp, this was 2015. This is where you see the individual test steps recorded. And some years later, this is when I was already, well, starting with OpenQA. This is where you had like fancy-looking icons, also not really illustrative at this point about what's actually going on. And at this point in time, there was already a shift of starting from the primarily graphical installation testing towards going outwards, going further, testing more. And I would say nowadays, the coverage of testing the graphical stack, like, you know, install an OpenSUSE system from the bootloader to the graphical desktop, is still covered well, but it's not growing that much. What is had been growing over the years much more is any kind of, let's say, textural representation or where it doesn't matter that much what's shown on the screen. Still, this is one of the core aspects, but what OpenQA is also excelling at is covering any other aspect, like, you know, remote-controlled machines, be it in public cloud or on bare metal tests, and you run multiple machines together in a stack, multi-machine coverage, and all that is covered pretty well. However, that also meant that over the time, a growing need was showing up. How can we better represent those test results? Nowadays, of course, you need to go with time, and over time, like, design preferences change, the frameworks change, so you want to give it a bit of a refreshed look. Nowadays, there's a modern responsive design, so I also operate with OpenQA on my smartphone, and I know that many people that also start the day by, you know, having a hot beverage of their choice, enjoying their coffee, and, you know, scrolling on their smartphone to see what's the latest state of tumbleweed tests. What you can also see is that over time, more icons and more functionality showed up. So what OpenQA is covering are two aspects. One aspect is the automated testing, and the other is the management of test results. And the more tests you do, the more you need to manage the results. And the more you test, the more likely it is that something will also fail, and will stay failing for some time. So there's a bug in Tumbleweed showing up in one build, but then, yeah, maybe it's not critical, it shouldn't block the full release, so what should we do? What you can do is you can regard it as soft failed. This is where the yellow shows up, and you can put a little, you can see the little flash icon down there, means you have a certain ticket reference to that to say like, okay, we know that it fails, we know the failure, we need to track the failure, there's a Bugzilla entry behind, if it's a product issue, or there's some other ticket where we track our test issues. So we will track that failure, but it will not block the release, or depending on how the individual workflows look like, you can track that much better. Also, since some time on the overview, you can see the different components. Now, since some months, you can also click there, so you have much more better filtering options to say, like, show me all the failures, show me all the tests which cover this certain test modules, show me all where this bug is referenced. And also, people ask for that for many years, we're a bit hesitant to say, like, can I label all those tests? Can I restart all those tests? Because maybe it's all the same. But, you know, restarting all the tests doesn't really make the issue go away, it just hides it maybe, but you know, there can be certain use cases and we cannot make the decision for all the users of OpenQA how they want to control their certain workflows. So by now you can also click on that icon on the, which you can see on the right hand side, this small speaking bubble. Actually, a comment is mandatory, so you cannot just restart multiple tests without any comment, because then other people might ask, like, why are all the tests restarted? Maybe wasting some testing resources. So you need to write a comment, like a bug, or, you know, fix meanwhile in this pull request, and then go on. There's more information, more buttons to click. You can see here there's some highlighting of the multi-machine and test dependency capabilities. So you have this little branch icon which shows that this test is meant to be scheduled first and the other are dependent on that. On the lower hand side, that's the overall test page where you have, you know, individual icons, you have a to-do checkbox to select what are the test results that you need to care about, the failures which still need a bug reference. More filtering, you know, more tests means more amount of data, so you need to filter for the subsets which individual people are interested in. You can also see when you have the overview page open that since now also this is more recent features in some months is that what I built in some years ago is actually a favicon representing the test results. So, you know, I know also many people that say like, okay, so there are 10 failures. I need to open all the 10 failures in the individual browser tab. Then you have a big browser window open and you have 10 tabs. And so what I built in is favicon icon representing the test result in the top so that you can already see it on that level. And since some months, what we also have is a favicon icon in the color of OpenQA representing the test result of an overview page. So it's like this build, this product, this subset of tests, and you can track all that as visible here now also by having this overview in the browser tabs. There's better integration into external workflows. So on top, there's an example of showing external scripts that can be triggered, like whenever a job finishes and fails or passes or incompletes or whatever, we can trigger customized scripts, which can be external, so you don't need to build everything into core OpenQA. Can be a bash script, which we have in our case. Now rewriting that to Python. So this is triggering an automatic investigation where you say, like, okay, something failed. One of the primary questions that users ask is, like, is it reproducible? And the second question would be, is like, what is the last good? Last good of test, last good of build? There might be some issue in the infrastructure. To answer all those questions, we can trigger automatic investigation. So you can see in that example, that, you know, we retry, does it even reproduce? We try it with the last good state of the tests, we try it with the last good state of the build, like was the tumbleweed build of yesterday, was it still fine? We also pin it to that specific machine, that worker that it was running on, so like, does it work when we run on there? And depending on the result, also automatically a decision can be made, like, all of those paths, that really looks like a sporadic failure that was there. It's not like a clear product regression. But depending on the combination of those dots, could also be one of the other. On the lower-end side, you can see an integration into what is now becoming a bit more important also for the OpenSUSE community when more development is happening on source OpenSUSE or the Gitti instance. And then if OpenK tests are triggered, then we also want to feedback results from that. And this is a detailed comment using also a new feature, which is the dynamic SVG ribbons pointing to the test results. So anyone can say like, okay, this is the test overview of a build which I'm interested in, and pointing to that in a markdown comment on a server which is capable to render SVG. And you can see the results then dynamically when opening the page. We also tried to, over the years, to do better documentation. I don't want to show the documentation now, but this is something that you can explore later on. So try it, open.qa, also written on my t-shirt if you visit me later. Try that. And then prettier command output and markers. This is something which we are currently working on. It's already available by, you know, enabled by Flag, but it's like opt-in, and we want to make that the default. What you can see here, in like since more than 10 years, we had those cryptic markers to say like I write something over the VNC, and then this output is parsed to the serial port, and this is how OpenK understands if a command was executed and what was the actual result. And when we integrated that, I mean, we still have that, but it's now hidden in the background. So it looks nicer in the OpenK web UI, where it's actually telling you, like, this is the command that was executed, was there any output, and what is the exit code? So I like that view. We have more fancy features, like a download button, which was a request from the community. One of the not so many things that not any SUSE employee has ever asked for, surprisingly, but members from the community have asked for that. And on the right-hand side, you can see, like, yeah, okay, then now it's, again, like, you know, feeding the hype, more AI features. Of course, we can do that. So what we did is have an LLM investigation summary. Like, if there's a new failure, I already showed you before the kind of the deterministic investigation. And this one is an example of, let's say, a non-deterministic investigation of something where we wanted to go a little bit deeper if this is really an issue where I was like, I mean, there's a test failing now and it never showed up like that in before. There is a lot of data available in OpenK, like long log files and a lot of context. And all those questions that, let's say, expert OpenK test reviewers can answer, maybe an LLM can help us with that to at least help, you know, maybe the junior test reviewers. I mean, expert humans are obviously still way better than any kind of AI here, but it's a start. And so this is an example where we have local models, for example, on the OpenK OpenSUSE org instance that can investigate those failures and feedback what might be a likely hypothesis. We trust our users more. I mean, this was also a wish that came up from time to time. Can we delete job groups? Sounds really simple, and it actually is, but then, you know, deleting means also losing data, and we didn't trust our users enough for many years, and now, well, we do. I mean, you should know what you do, right? You can delete your account, you can delete job groups, not just over do some fancy SQL command in the background, but really just click buttons. Of course, given that you have the right level of authorization, like if you're an admin on that instance. Further noteworthy achievements, we have a more maintainable code base. We have now, you know, it's not like we are building up a lot of technical debt while we do all of that. We want to provide an easy contribution to our audience, OpenQA, and also OpenQA tests. So if you want to get a start, I think there was never a better time than now to try to contribute something and try to start with OpenQA tests. Admittedly, the focus is primarily the expert users of OpenQA and the, you know, the experts that we have within SUSE, but still we managed to make the system a lot easier to approach, I'm convinced. Constant updates of the infrastructure, which is like, you know, when you work with a system and you need to keep it running and you need to keep it up to date and modern and refreshed. That takes away a big chunk of time. And scaling up and out, so the instances become bigger and bigger and bigger, but also we want to make it able to scale out so that anyone can install their OpenKV instance, you can deploy them in containers, in virtual machines, in physical machines, and spawn them up maybe quickly as part of a dynamic CI environment. All of that is possible and became easier over time. And now, like really short, what's next? We want to provide a modern, efficient, and secure QE toolset that is ready for the future. Three noteworthy feature blocks I would like to mention is all of them are ongoing. One is support switch to Giti for the OpenSUSE SUSE-based products, so have it integrated well there, because what we do is we test, but we need to test what is built, and that is obviously important for OpenSUSE as well as SUSE. But whenever we do that, we also want to make sure that we build a self-contained product, OpenKV, where also other people can benefit from that. So we will, come up with a flexible solution. AI integration with OpenKV, I showed you one example, and based on that, we can very carefully and conservatively think about where does it make sense, what can we do. And as I've gave you some outlook to improve the text mode, test view, and command output, which is available as an opt-in feature, we have some ideas what we can still improve, and as well as make that the default for everybody where that works. And that's it. Thank you for your attention so far. Any questions after this lightning talk before you all go hungry for the lunch? Yep. Just a second.
So for showing this exit code, can we somehow remove the new line?
That's jumping to there, right? I have also seen that, yes. When showing something like that, that brings ideas. So yes, please, let's do that. Maybe today, together in the workshop, so at 1400, if you like to join us in the seminar room upstairs, then we can talk about this and other ideas, how to proceed. If you want to get a quick start with how to use OpenKV, how to deploy it in your environment, visit us there. Any other questions, notes? Are we good? Okay, cool. Thank you all.